In the West African nation of Cameroon, tensions between the minority English speakers and the French-speaking government have escalated. Thousands of Anglophone lawyers, teachers, and students in English-speaking cities in the west of the country have taken to the streets to demand more political rights and power for English-speaking regions. Amnesty International just issued a report saying the government has been torturing and attacking the protesters and that there have been unlawful killings and destruction of property. The protests began in 2016 and continue into this week. Agbo Kongo is a human rights lawyer who heads the NGO Center for Human Rights and Democracy in Africa. He's also Anglophone. He joins us via Skype from Boya in Cameroon. Welcome. And it may be surprising to some people when they hear about this, it's not a religious fight. This is a fight over people who speak different languages, English and French.
Well, it would be very simplistic to say it's just a fight about people who speak English and French. I think it has its own historical background. It's not only the speaking of English and French, but I think it's a cultural issue. It is linked to the history of the people. Language is one of the factors. But don't forget also that you look at the legal and the educational system, and you look at the culture of the people. So it's a combination of many things. But it boils down to marginalization. It boils down to the fact that 56 years after independence, that the terms of agreements were not really respected, and that the people of Southern Cameroons who joined the West East Cameroonians in forming the union feel that they are considered as second-class fiddle in the relationship and feel that there's a lot of oppression, suppression, and marginalization.
Well, give me an example of a situation where one of the English speakers, for example, feels marginalized in Cameroon.
If you look at the recent entrance into the medical college in Cameroon, the two English universities of Boya and Bamenda, they don't have a pharmacy department. They don't do pharmacy in these universities. So if you want to study pharmacy, you have to go to the other universities, which are predominantly French. So it makes it difficult for the Anglophones, for the Southern Cameroonians, to be able to study successfully in that university and in most of the professional schools. The language of instructions in the professional schools is French. The Anglophones would have to struggle. These and many others. If you come to the services, even in the English-speaking part of the country, you have offices, you have judges, you have state councils, you have prosecutors who don't understand English language.
Well, but it's maybe not so surprising because 80% of the country speaks French and only 20% speaks English. I mean,
No, I understand the fact that the Francophones are the majority. But when these two people came together, you know, they came together on the understanding that there would be mutual respect. Mm-hmm. But so on the understanding that during the West Cameroon days, we had a prime minister. We had a speaker in the parliament. I'm not saying that we should have the same number of ministers. Like, no, because now we are not looking at the population. We are looking at the fact that these were two peoples that came together,
right?
The Southern Cameroonians and the East Cameroonians. So if a president is from East Cameroon, the next in command should be from Southern Cameroon.
So do you think that one possible solution to this is that you just form an independent state for the Anglophones?
Well, you see, it could be. We have three different groupings in Anglophone Cameroon. There are those who still believe in the unitary state, the unitary decentralization. I think very, very few. There are those who are more centric, who believe in a two-state federation, others believe in a 10-state, and those who believe that there should be outright independence. And I think all the groupings have their arguments, which I personally respect them, you know. But we need to find a way out, especially even from an Anglophone perspective, to have a common position and a common voice. Federalism, a two-state federation, could be, and I say could be, a panacea. It could bring in the best in the French and the English system to build a country that would be based on equality, would be based on fairness, would be represent the wish of the aspirations of both people.
So we've seen these recent headlines of killings, burning of villages, attacks on government officials, and massive arrests. Are you worried that Cameroon could become the next Rwanda, that it could escalate into a civil war?
I'm extremely worried. You know, for somebody who has worked in the UN, in conflict zones like Sierra Leone, Afghanistan, and in the Democratic Republic of Congo,
it is something very worrisome. I say we are sliding into a civil war. Some of my friends have already argued that we are already having a civil war. The suffering that is going on, look at the internally displaced, about 200,000. Look at the refugees, about 50,000. If all of us can just sit for a moment, think, and try to see how we can talk to each other, not talking across each other, not blaming each other, but trying to walk towards a veritable dialogue and a solution, we might avert the mayhem.
I just want to ask you one more thing, because some of these protests have ended up becoming violent, and there's been reports that government authorities have shot back at the protesters. People have been killed. Do you denounce the violence on the Anglophone side?
Yes, as the founder and the chairman of the Center for Human Rights and Democracy in Africa, we have consistently denounced violence committed by both parties. We have consistently denounced kidnapping. We've consistently denounced the acting of ransom, the destruction of schools, the beheading of military officers. We have denounced violence committed by both parties. But you ask yourself a question. These were peaceful protesters. Who started the violence? You know, in 2016, we were just protesting. The government arrested us. The government spread tear gas, wounded them, imprisoned them for long, giving them 10 to 15 year sentences. Some of the arms groups, when you talk to them, their argument is that it's kind of self-defense. It might not be justifiable in the eyes of the law, but it's an argument that if you are on the ground, and if you are in a village where the military forces come there, arrest your people, arrest your children, shoot them when they are not unarmed, then you start rethinking, what can we do to protect ourselves from the recklessness done by the military?
That's Agbo Kongo, who is a human rights lawyer and current executive director of the NGO Center for Human Rights and Democracy in Africa, talking with us about the situation in Cameroon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.